Hello, and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news, broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, and we start with local news. As Spring Hill High School resumed regular activities Monday following last week's vandalism incident, it appears that any disciplinary action from here on out will be decided by the Murray County School District. Murray County Sheriff Bucky Rowland said no charges or arrests have been made in association with the incident, which occurred in the early morning hours last Friday. The disarray and damages were so extensive that the school was forced to close on Friday. Rowland added that, based on the initial investigation, he believes the incident involved more than 90 students total as part of a school event or senior prank, though just a handful might have taken things a little too far. They were having what we were referred to as a school activity or event that got way out of hand, and after we put everything together, it's pretty much in the school system's court, I guess you could say, as far as any prosecution, Rowland said. It was a school event that definitely crossed some boundaries. This resulted in damages to school property, fluid spilled among the hallways, as well as destroying more than 40 supply packs designated as part of the Well Outreach's Jetpack program, which provides food and other necessities to students. It was 90-plus students that we identified that had some type of part in the senior prank. But it was a little more than a handful that just took it too far, Rowland said. That's the thing. If you prosecute one, you'll have to prosecute them all. And it's pretty difficult to do that because it was a school event. One they may need to rethink, he said. Murray County Public Schools Communications Director Jack Cobb said as far as the school's side, if any suspects have been identified, as well as whether any further disciplinary action will be taken, is yet to be determined. And while senior pranks have been a traditional send-off for graduating students over the years, Rowland said there's never been an incident like this he can recall, especially one that has required local authorities. This was something that was kind of new to me until we got into the discussion, and apparently there are some schools in our district that do activities like this, but none of them have ever gotten to this extent, Rowland said. For us, it tied up a lot of manpower and time, and it really shouldn't have happened, he said. When Governor Bill Lee announced the state had lured a General Motors lithium battery supplier to Spring Hill 3 years ago, it was his largest economic announcement to date, a $2.6 billion corporate investment, 1,300 new jobs, a major stepstone along Tennessee's path to become an EV hub, helped along by a then-record $46,000 per job in taxpayer incentives. The factory's deal's less conspicuous specs, its continuous need for 1.4 million gallons of water per day, is now figuring in a larger battle pitting citizens and conservation groups against state environmental regulators. Last month, the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, or TDEC, granted permission to Columbia Power and Water Systems, which pumps water to the new Ultium Cells plant, to increase its current withdrawals from the Duck River by 60%. It's one of eight water companies along the Duck River seeking to dramatically increase water draws to meet rising demands for water in the rapidly growing five-county region southeast of Nashville. Should the state approve all eight requests, up to 73 million gallons will be drained daily from the Duck, one-third more than today. Local residents and conservation groups say that's unsustainable. We're very, very concerned that development and corporate interests have just taken over, said Doug Jones, a retired attorney whose family has owned farmland along the Duck for more than a century. Industries like the lithium plant that are coming to the region are like monsters, like dragons, we can't quench them, Jones said. Jones now helps lead Hickman for the Duck, a nonprofit formed among neighbors to wage a legal challenge against TDEC over its approval of Columbia Power and Water's new permit. We're not fighting Columbia Power, Jones said. It's the governor's economic development people. It's these people in suits. They just say yes, he said. Now 72, he has seen the water levels dip alarmingly during his lifetime as droughts have occurred with greater frequency. A sandbar used for family gatherings has extended further out into the river, so you can almost walk all the way across and not get your ankles wet sometimes, he said. Can you imagine how bad it's going to get if they take more out? Randy Head, general manager for the Bedford County Utility District, said his small water company is trying to keep up with a growth spurt in rural parts of the county, seeing more residential and business customers as growth spills outside the limits of Shelbyville, the county seat. A proliferation of poultry farms in the area has also placed greater demands on water resources, he said. We're not seeking to grow and use more water, but we're simply required to provide water for development occurring in this area, Head said. TDEC last month approved a permit for the utility to increase its water withdrawals from the Duck River from 1 million gallons per day to just over 4 million gallons each day. The permit is now the subject of a legal challenge by the Tennessee Wildlife Federation, which has accused TDEC of poor oversight of the Duck in issuing permits, including a provision that allows utility companies to waste up to 25% of the water they draw through leaky pipes or other accidental discharges. Head said that wasn't something the utility company asked for. TDEC set the wastewater rate, but he stressed utility companies do not seek to intentionally waste water. We don't want to lose 25%, he said. We're not losing 25% now. We find it quite offensive that anyone is implying we want that. We don't want to misappropriate water. I want to protect the river too, Head said. We're not in economic development, but economic development has come to us, and we're tasked with providing water for everyone in this district. The Tennessee Wildlife Federation is also challenging TDEC's permits to Columbia Power and Water and Duck River Utility Commission, along with Bedford County. The challenges accuse TDEC of assuming a lax approach to protecting the Duck River and claims that state environmental regulators have ignored long-term consequences for a river that is both prized for its beauty and biodiversity and also serves as the only source of drinking water for 250,000 people in the region. There's a significant threat that if people take too much water from the river during drought, we will lose the ecosystems in this incredibly thriving river to collapse, said George Nolan, an attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center, who represents the Tennessee Wildlife Federation. It's the backbone of the local recreational economy, and for many reasons, it's worthy of protection, and these permits don't really do anything other than kick the can down the road as far as drought management and water planning is concerned. The Tennessee Wildlife Federation has questioned details in the permit allowing the utility companies to not only increase water withdrawal, but to leak as much as 25% of the water they draw, even in times of drought. Collectively, the 8 permits would allow as much as 18 million gallons of water per day to be wasted. Some waste is inevitable as pipes leak or break, but Nolan noted that Columbia Power and Water had previously been limited to leaking just 12% of its water intakes. TDEC has also directed the utility companies to follow a decades-old drought plan developed by the Duck River Development Agency that sets benchmarks for triggering water conservation measures and releasing water from the Normandy Reservoir to sustain the river's levels. The Tennessee Wildlife Federation is challenging that component too, saying the plan is outdated and the agency, which is funded by utility companies and has no mandate to seek public input on drought management plans, should not be setting guidelines. We are challenging the fact that TDEC is illegally attempting to delegate its responsibility to enforce our water quality laws to an entity that is not set up for that purpose and is being paid for by the industry that's being regulated, Nolan said. TDEC did not respond to a request for comment about the legal challenges. Doug Murphy, executive director of the Duck River Agency, pushed back against concerns that permits were allowing too much water to be withdrawn from the river at one time. Permits outline peak day demands, making it unlikely that on any given day all 73 million gallons of water would be withdrawn by all 8 utility companies should TDEC approve each of their requests, Murphy said. The information I'm seeing out there is that these water systems are going to drain the river and take 70-plus million gallons out every day. But that's not true, Murphy said. For all the water systems to hit the same peak at the same time would be some crazy odds, he said. Treated wastewater is also routinely returned to the river, he said, helping keep levels stable. The agency is currently updating a regional river plan to account for the unanticipated growth in the region over the past 2 years, he said. The plan will include a drought management component that water utilities granted the new permits will be required to follow. The plan will offer guidance, but, he said, we don't have the authority over this. All we are visionaries developing plans of how to protect the Duck River and meet growth needs. The regulatory agencies will have to decide if that's doable, he said. The river is already low for this time of year. John McEwen said he used to skip rocks from a rocky beach behind the 1860s-era home his forebears built in Murray County. McEwen, a real estate broker, had grown up skipping rocks in the same stretch where he stood that day. He said he was troubled by the changes he had already seen. At its shallowest bordering his family's property, it dipped to 3 or 4 feet deep, areas that now stood less than 2 feet. The real estate market has been extremely healthy, in large part because people want to own property on or near the Duck River, he said. I just wish there were more concern for the diminishing quality of this river, which is the main reason people come here, he said. Eliminating that resource to fuel growth is just short-sighted, he said. In 2021, Murray County Chamber and Economic Alliance and Spring Hill Chamber of Commerce launched Wired, a mastermind group for local entrepreneurs and CEOs. Wired Mastermind is designed to foster growth and development through a sharing of experiences, lessons learned, and game-changing moments. The 2023-2024 Wired Mastermind Group is comprised of 5 local entrepreneurs and CEOs that were selected through an application process. The group of 5 local leaders have been meeting monthly over the course of the year, learning from one another and developing a deeper understanding of themselves. Each participant committed their time, resources, and expertise to the group, and now it's time for them to host the finale, the Wired Pitch Contest, a pitch competition for early businesses poised for growth in Murray County and Spring Hill. The group will decide which business is deserving of a grant valued up to at least $5,000. The individuals will also commit to mentoring the chosen business as needed. The Wired Pitch Contest is funded by Wired Mastermind's annual fees. Local entrepreneurs are encouraged to complete the application by June 1st in order to be considered to participate in the pitch competition on July 23rd. Chosen applicants will pitch their idea in front of the Wired Mastermind group, and the group will determine which businesses warrant investing and the amount invested. The Wired Mastermind Group will then serve as mentors to the chosen entrepreneurs. You can find a link to the application by visiting www.murrayalliance.com. Columbia Fire and Rescue will be hosting a car seat safety event in collaboration with General Motors and the Murray Regional Healthcare Foundation on Friday, May 17th from 3 to 5 p.m. at Fire Station No. 2. According to research conducted by the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, nearly half, or 46%, of all car seats are installed incorrectly. To address this alarming issue and ensure the safety of our local young passengers, Columbia Fire and Rescue will be offering parents and caregivers the opportunity to have their car seat checked by one of their nationally certified child passenger safety technicians. In addition to car seat safety checks, Columbia Fire and Rescue will be offering free car seats to parents who are unable to provide an appropriate seat for their child. They will have free car seats available for all ages and stages of development. All attendees will be treated to a complimentary Hawaiian shaved ice as a token of their appreciation for coming out to learn more about child passenger safety. This event is designed to educate, empower, and protect our community's most vulnerable members. It's important to note that the child must be in attendance in order to ensure the seat is fitted properly. No free seats or inspections will be provided if the child is not present. Columbia Fire and Rescue extends its sincere gratitude to General Motors and the Murray Regional Healthcare Foundation for their generous support, which has made this essential program possible. Don't miss this opportunity to ensure your most precious cargo is traveling safely. Join us at Fire Station No. 2, located at 711 Lyon Parkway on May 17th from 3 to 5 p.m. for car seat safety checks. Buckle up, young readers and families, for an exciting adventure awaits at the Mount Pleasant Touch a Truck event on June 1st. In celebration of the upcoming Mount Pleasant Library Summer Reading Program, this interactive and educational event will bring the community together for a day of hands-on exploration with a variety of vehicles. The date again is June 1st from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Halong Avenue and the Square in Mount Pleasant. The Touch-A-Truck theme is about community heroes and lots of different trucks lining the street for kids to check out and learn about their community heroes that help us every day. This unique opportunity will allow children and families to get up close and personal with an array of vehicles from fire trucks to construction equipment, police cars, and more. This free, family-friendly event not only promises a day of fun and excitement, but also serves as the perfect kickoff for the library's summer reading program. The event is designed to inspire a love for reading and learning in children while offering a memorable experience that fosters a sense of community. Participants will have the chance to climb aboard and explore the various vehicles, interact with local community heroes, and even learn about the roles these vehicles play in our daily lives. We are thrilled to present the Touch a Truck event as a dynamic kickoff to the Mount Pleasant Library Summer Reading Program. It's an opportunity for families to engage with the community, spark curiosity in children, and promote a love of learning, said Haverly Pennington, director of Main Street Mount Pleasant. In addition to the vehicle displays, the event will feature entertainment, food trucks, and activities. Mount Pleasant Main Street, Mount Pleasant Library, Heritage Bank, First Farmers Bank, United Community Bank, Southside Baptist Church, Norman's Body Shop, and Stag Simple Shine have joined forces to make this day unforgettable, ensuring a festive atmosphere for all attendees. Families are encouraged to bring their children, explore the trucks, and discover the joy of reading. The event is free and open to the public. For more information about the Touch a Truck event and the Mount Pleasant Library Summer Reading Program, please contact Haverly Pennington, Main Street Director at Haverly at visitmountpleasanttn.com. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Kimberly Lee Elliott Brown Brewer, 67, a resident of Columbia, died Friday, May 3rd at her residence. A celebration of life will be held on Thursday, May 9th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. The family suggests memorials may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Online condolences may be extended at www.oaksandnichols.com. Frank Everett Seeley, 82, a retired truck driver for Consolidated Aluminum and a resident of Columbia, died Saturday, May 4th at Magnolia Healthcare and Rehabilitation. Funeral services will be conducted on Thursday, May 9th at 11 a.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Jones Cemetery. The family will visit with friends Thursday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Ty David Smithson, 33, a resident of Spring Hill, died unexpectedly Sunday, May 5th in Williamson County. Funeral services will be conducted on Saturday, May 11th at 4 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. The family will visit with friends on Saturday from 12 p.m. until the time of the service at the funeral home. Condolences may be extended online at oaksandnichols.com. Kenneth P. Lord III, 81, a resident of Williamsport, passed away on May 1st. A memorial service will be conducted on Saturday, May 18th at 2 p.m. at Williamsport United Methodist Church. Burial will follow in Williamsport Cemetery with military honors provided by the United States Army. The family will visit with friends on Saturday from 1 p.m. until the time of the service at the church. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Maury County families in the ways they prefer, and why Matt and Susie Sowell believe the way to honor tradition is with especially personal service.
We believe your traditions, your customs, your rites of passage are very important, but we also believe in taking care of your personal wishes as well.
At Oaks and Nichols, we try to do more than just the expected things, so the service you receive honors your heritage and is uniquely yours, and we invite you to experience the difference.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have mostly cloudy skies today with strong thunderstorms developing this afternoon, damaging winds, large hail, and possible tornadoes with some storms are possible. Winds will be out of the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. The chance of rain today, 60%. Tonight, we can expect variable clouds with more strong thunderstorms possible. The low will be 66 degrees. There is an 80% chance of overnight rain. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine, too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
We all live very busy lives. Sometimes we just need a break. Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra pair of hands to help out? Let me introduce you to New Dawn Cleaning Service. No job is too big or too small because they do it all, from residential to commercial. They offer standard cleaning, construction cleaning, carpet shampooing, and window cleaning. Whether you are looking for a one-time service or regular scheduled cleaning plan, New Dawn is ready to help. With years of experience, you can relax, kick back, and call New Dawn Cleaning Service at 615-977-6901.
The Tennessee Lottery congratulates this year's graduates from all the colleges and universities across the state. Your achievements set the stage for a brighter tomorrow. We're happy to have helped along the way by raising more than $7 billion for education and funding over 1.9 million scholarships and grants, including Hope Scholarships, Tennessee Promise, and much more. Visit DNLottery.com to see how our proceeds support successful futures.
Hey there, you don't know me, but I was standing behind you the other morning in line, remember? You thought about buying that Tennessee Lottery instant game, but changed your mind. Well, I just wanted to say thank you. I bought it and won big. Pretty annoying, right? But don't worry, I'll bring you back a t-shirt from the Bahamas.
Don't miss your chance to win up to $500,000 with the new May instant games. Plus, earn 5x VIP rewards points on all multiplier games in May, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7, your hometown source for news and information. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred made one thing clear. An MLB expansion team is not coming to Nashville or anywhere anytime soon. Manfred said during his annual meeting with the Associated Press Sports Editors Group at MLB offices Monday that he anticipates having an expansion process in place by 2029 when his term as commissioner ends. Add in the time needed for the process to play out, time for a stadium to be built or brought to MLB standards, and you're talking at least another couple of years beyond 2029. Manfred balked when asked specifically about the viability of Nashville as a candidate for expansion. "I've never identified particular cities as targets," he said. "We need an Eastern time zone in either a Mountain or Western time zone city, just in terms of making the format work in the best possible way. I truly believe we're going to have multiple candidates in both categories." Nashville, of course, is in the Central time zone, which already includes 8 MLB franchises. That's not to say Nashville is out of the discussion by any means when MLB decides to add 2 teams. "It's just not fair for me to focus on one individual city," Manfred said. "I'd like to leave it at that. I think we're going to have multiple strong candidates in both categories, including Nashville," he said. During the December winter meetings in Nashville, a few general managers shared their feelings about the potential of MLB in Nashville. Manfred said he has never identified particular cities as targets, but in 2018, he told the sports talk show First Things First that MLB had a real list of cities that I think are not only interested in having baseball, but are viable in terms of baseball. Those cities? Portland, Las Vegas, Charlotte, Nashville in the United States, certainly Montreal, maybe Vancouver in Canada, Manfred said. "We think there's places in Mexico we could go over the long haul," he added. What are the biggest hurdles potential franchise cities face? Manfred said there are 3: finding a strong ownership group, the market itself, and the availability of a stadium or ability to get one built. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Don't let pain keep you out of the game. Murray Regional Physical Therapy's experienced team of therapists can help you recover from surgery, injury, or illness by designing a plan that meets your unique needs. We utilize state-of-the-art equipment and proven techniques to help you get back to doing the things you love. Schedule a consultation at any of our convenient Southern Middle Tennessee locations by calling 931-380-4014. Murray Regional Health, where clinical excellence meets compassionate care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street, across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. With CMA Fest just around the corner, this year's Fanfare X inside Music City Center is packed with more country star power than ever before. From one-of-a-kind panels, special performances, meet-and-greets, partner activations, and a vendor marketplace, Fanfare X is a must-see for every country music fan. Fanfare X takes place Thursday, June 6th through Saturday, June 8th. This year, global superstar Dolly Parton will kick off Fanfare X on Thursday morning, welcoming country music fans from around the world to take part in a very special conversation on the CMA close-up stage. Fans also won't want to miss Parton's all-access pop-up experience at Fanfare X, open every day. A limited number of single-day $10 and four-day $25 Fanfare X tickets can be purchased now at cmafest.com/FanfareX. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM, WKRM Radio. If you ever miss a part or all of this broadcast, you can listen to it anytime or read the transcript online by visiting frontporchradiotn.com. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.